ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of Ajneya, Text number 25. Sabadha Hridayas Tasmin,
Sabadha Hridayas Tasmin,
Arvake Kalavasini,
Arvake Kalavasini,
Rikshamanastha Lilam, Mumude jagato grisham,
Mumude jagato grisham,
Sabada hridayas tasmin,
Sabada gayas tasmin,
Arvake kalavasini,
Arvake kalavasini,
Rikshamanastha lilam,
Rikshamanastha lilam,
Mumude jagato grisham,
he
Bada Hridaya,
Bada Hridaya,
being very attached,
Tasmin,
to that,
for that,
Arhake, so child,
small child,
Kalavasini, who could not talk clearly but talked in broken language. Nirikshamana,
Nirikshamanaha,
seen,
tat,
is,
lilam,
pastimes, such as walking and talking to his father, mumute, enjoyed,
jarata,
the old man,
Grisham,
very much. Translation. Because of the child's broken language and awkward movements, old Ajneya was very much attached to him. He always took care of the child and enjoyed the child's activities. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta. Purport. Here it is clearly mentioned that the child Narayana was so young that he could not even speak or walk properly. Since the old man was very attached to the child, he enjoyed the child's activities, and because the child's name was Narayana, the old man always chanted the holy name of Narayana. Although he was referring to the small child and not to the original Narayana, the name of Narayana is so powerful that even by chanting his son's name, he was becoming purified. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Vimukhivana. Sri Rupa Goswami has therefore declared that if one's mind is somehow or other attracted by the holy name of Krishna, Tasma Inamaha Krishna Nideshaya, one is on the path of liberation. It is customary in Hindu society for parents to give their children names like Krishnadas, Govindadas, Narayanadas, and Vrindavanadas. Thus they chant the names Krishna, Govinda, Narayan, and Vrindavan and get the chance to be purified. So this, as Prabhupada describes here, is customary in Hindu society. Which means that although they're not all Vaishnavas, they're not all in transcendental knowledge of the personality of Godhead and his speech of Paramatma, the super soul in the heart of everyone, including the heart of the demigods, that he is the source of the Brahman, spiritual effulgence mentioned in the Upanishads, that may not be familiar with all of that. They may be worshipping demigods without any real understanding of spiritual matters, and sometimes without even thinking very much about their own eternal nature. So the Hindu society, they're doing something. But because of the custom, they have the opportunity, there are some traditions which are there, put in place by people who do understand everything nicely, and those customs allow one to gradually chant the holy names of the Lord and to think of the Lord, remember the Lord in that way, become purified. So chanting the holy names of the Lord is very, very purifying, so purifying that in this case, even though Arjuna was thinking of his child, but he wasn't particularly thinking of God, or Narayan, or Krishna, but he was using the name Narayan, which is the name of God, while thinking of his child. So his mind is actually thinking of his ordinary material activities. And of course, because originally we are a spirit soul, that is our pure, eternal constitutional position. But when we come to this material world, influenced by desire and envy, which begins with our desire and envy of the Lord, then those impurities bring us into contact with material energy, and then our consciousness, our pure spiritual consciousness of full knowledge, becomes impure and contaminated with illusion and ignorance influenced by the modes of material nature. So when we say someone becomes purified, we're saying that they're as Prabhupada describes here in the purport, that if one's mind is somehow attracted by the holy name of Krishna, one is on the path of liberation, on the path. So, on the path of purification of the soul. The beginning point of liberation is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that one comes to the Brahman conception of life. So that is the point of the beginning of liberation. There's a concept, there's an understanding. I am the spirit soul, and all the entities are spirit soul. So that is the beginning of liberation. If we don't have that concept that I'm a spirit soul, we identify wholeheartedly with the body and other living entities of the body, then that process of liberation, we're not on that path. We are on the path of living pretty much like the animals. And so the Vedic process is to help those who are in tamaguna, ignorance, passion, or sattvaguna, even ignorance, even goodness, to progress on the path of liberation, to gradually become purified, and that purification point brings one to the concept of understanding the Lion's true soul. So, therefore, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that we all, if we perform any of our activities according to our natural situation, so for those in complete ignorance, but if they come under the control of the Vedic situation and perform their duties, they will also become self-realized. Those in the mode of passion, there's some ignorance, some passion, even if they're in pure passion, not much ignorance. If they perform their duties, they will also come to the point that process of following the Vedic process is filled with so many aspects such as this. The Vedic culture is like that. There are so many aspects of Vedic culture that you're just doing your business, but because it's connected with the scriptural directions, you will come in contact with the Holy Name. You will come in contact with the sacred persons, and gradually you become, it brings you to the point, gradually you become purified. And one lifetime, somewhere in that lifetime, it just dawns on you, yes, I'm eternal, I'm not this body. And that is the result of that. So there are many different factors in any religious system which is supposed to bring us to that point. We don't come to that point. Now, then the Bhagavad Gita explains that if we act on the platform of knowledge, perform our usual duties then, on the platform of that knowledge, dedicated to becoming more fully situated as a spirit soul, completely purified, then those duties that we perform in this world become much more, we get immense purification. So, those who follow any religious principle, if they follow them for a purely material result, there's some benefit, and maybe, sometimes chanting the Holy Name inadvertently, or performing some activities in relationship to some sadhus, devotees, going to the temple, what have you, for this. But it is just for, they're doing it all for purely for material benefit. Their progress is very, very, very slow. Very slow. And it's a very dangerous process in Kali Yuga. But if they perform the same duties in this world, for the purpose that I am a spirit soul and my duties I should be performed in that knowledge for the sake of progressing in that path of liberation, of self-realization as a spirit soul, they make rapid progress. And if that knowledge, that those who do that is a very powerful stepping stone on the process of then realizing the super soul, the Supreme Lord, who sits within the heart of every living entity, and that is a stepping stone if one is progressive to then actually taking up devotional service to that super soul, who is actually an expansion of Bhagavan in the spiritual world, the personality of Godhead, and therefore taking up service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that activity is done in that Krishna consciousness are the most purifying of all. So that is the way process. So people become on the path of Krishna consciousness. The whole point, of course, is that if we can, for us, or for anyone who wants to go to become completely purified, the completely purified platform means when the soul is completely purified, they're placed in their original position. as they are in the spiritual world. Even while situated in this world, the spirit soul understands, I am a spirit soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord's spiritual energy. Therefore, I am the eternal servant of the personality of Godhead. That is, when we are situated in pure devotional service, then we are completely purified, 100% purified, and at that point, in that lifetime, we can actually realize the personality of Godhead and go back to Godhead at the end of that life. So that is complete purification. So, now, Arjuna, as we see, he was a Brahman who understood that he was a spirit soul, and who actually also had some understanding of devotional service. But he fell down from that platform. But he was protected by whatever here, this chanting the holy name is so powerful that it was able to protect him. Ultimately, we will see that Arjuna, he could not go back to Godhead straight away because he had actually fallen and then had to practice again with determination. So he took birth again for the opportunity, okay, now let me, you know, not fall away at that. Because if I fall away again I will not go back to Godhead. And again, so much trouble. So, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, this is mentioned that so verse 5, the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Anti Kale Chamandeva, Smaramoga Kale Ramya, Prati Samagavam Yasinda, and that's chapter Samsayam. And whoever at the end of his life puts his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt. So, if at the time, Arjuna left his body, he chanted the name of Narayan, which helped him to think of Narayan. But he was also thinking of his son. And therefore, at the time he left his body, he was purified by remembering Narayan, but not to the point where he came back to Godhead. Because his mind was also thinking of his son, predominantly, like that. And, but if we're just thinking of Krishna and nothing else, then we can go back to God in this life. So that's mentioned in the next verse, of this 8th chapter, verse 6. Yam yam bhakti smaram bhavam sa jachan te kale ram tam tam yivati kuntaya siddhata bhavapitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, at some point in that state he will attain without a fail. So that, it says in the third word, a person at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna, attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. And this is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharat, although a great personality, so Maharaj Bharat was a devotee, practically in the state of Bhava Bhakti, just prior to the pure love of God, a very elevated devotee, very elevated. And it says, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life, and so in his next life, he was transferred into the body of a deer. So, Although it was a deity, he remembered his past activities. He hadn't accepted that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this creates one's next life. So Maharaj Bharat thought of that deer so much that it influenced his thoughts even at the time of death. So, you know, generally, if a devotee is constantly engaged in thinking of the Lord, and somehow or another there's a little fleeting thought, that's different. But if one is really consumed with something a lot, even as a devotee, that's significant. And that will determine the consuming thought at the time of death. So that's a very important point. Not that and we'll discuss this, that we're constantly engaged in devotional service, and somehow there's this accidental death, and there's a little bit of intention at the time we die, and therefore we may not be able to think of Krishna. And that was Arjuna's question at the start of here. He asked Krishna at the beginning of this eighth chapter, how do we think of you at the time of death? That's the secret. And what if, and Prabhupada mentions in that purport about Kulakshetra Maharaj, Kulakshetra, that I'm thinking of God now, but at that moment, at the moment of death, throat becomes choked up, body becomes disturbed, mind becomes disturbed. Will I think of him then? Better I don't now. You see, like that. So, but the point is that, you know, everything is tested in our life at that point. That's what Maharaj Kulakshetra is understanding. Not necessarily that he has a death wish, but he knows at the time of death that you will be tested. That's the point of what he's saying. Can I do it then? You know, that what sort of thinking, what sort of meditation am I thinking of the Lord that at that time of thinking? Because if I do, I go back to God again. So that is a devotee has that in mind, through everything they do. So then, in the purport there, it says, of course, if in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. And that one will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. Now, Prabhupada mentions in that purport that we should be engaged. Now, of course, none of us can sit down and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 24 hours a day, every night. We cannot even take pay as a call. So then, the main process is chanting Hare Krishna. So, as mentioned in the purport, and as mentioned in the next verse, Krishna gives the solution. That you do all your natural activities, as a father, as a mother, as a son, as a citizen, as a Brahmin, as a businessman, as a worker, as a farmer. You do all your natural activities according to your psychophysical makeup. But you mold your life in such a way that you're always thinking of Krishna. Because the point is that we must remember and think of Krishna. So we mold our lives, and of course the main thing is that we're chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. And always thinking of Krishna, and here, like this, the rain. Are those chanting Hare Krishna? heritage Maha Mantra is Maha Mantra, but of course we can't really have four kids. We can call one Hari, one Krishna. Now it's really silly, it's really easy. We can call one Hari, one Krishna, one Ram. Hari, Krishna, Ram. But if all the kids in the world were called Hari, Krishna, Ram, so then we have Govinda, Vrindavan. And that is the same. That is the same. And also, you know, one can live in Vrindavan, and one can live in the Holy Dham, but that's not possible for everyone. To live in the Holy Dham and just see everything related to Krishna and chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 24 hours a day is not possible. So Krishna doesn't recommend that. And Lord Chaitanya and the Acharya specifically said, don't try to do that. Do something that's practical. And Krishna said to Arjuna, do your duty, but you think of me. Okay. Be a householder, be a brahmachari, be a sannyas, vanapras, tacha. But don't identify that I am that body. But it is an activity, a service we can do for the Krishna in a particular way that's natural to us, that we can do for the whole life, because it's natural, it's easy, and it also shows others how to do what's natural and easy, and allows us the time to chant Hare Krishna. So most devotees will mold their life in such a way, they're not working so hard. You see some of the billionaires in this world, they have billions of dollars, they still don't have time to sit and chant Hare Krishna. But a devotee's life, they do their activities, but they mould their life in such a way that they can have so much time to chant Hare Krishna, associated with devotees. And of course, we want to teach that process to the world, and that's why that is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna Adarshava, the Krishna Karatam, which began in 1972. So I guess next year will be the 50th anniversary. So that by distributing Prabhupada's books, that is one of the main services that we do as devotees, apart from, you know, chanting and sitting around, which is the main service. And then next will be distributing Prabhupada's books. That is the basis of this movement. That is how this movement began, is how it grew, and how it was maintained, and how it will progress in future. The basis of everything is this book distribution that pleases Prabhupada, pleases the Acharyas, it pleases Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And within those books is so much instruction for the whole world in any position, how they can mould their life in such a way to be Krishna conscious. So I used to sell full sets of books, actually myself. So I was in Adelaide selling full sets of books, and we was here in Melbourne selling full sets of books. And one of the things I loved about Prabhupada's books is that you meet someone, you know, there's some contact, and you think, okay, I'm going to visit these people, we'll make a good relationship. But literally, on the first visit, you try to sell them a set of books. And so what you had to do was to, you ask, you know, what do you do? I'm in chemistry. There's so much about that in the Bhagavatam, let me discuss about that. And literally, you know, Gita, within a few minutes, those people understood that no matter what they're doing, the perfection of that, those things are discussed, everything is discussed in the Prabhupada's books. You know the Prabhupada's books. And so, you know, no matter who you meet, you find out their interests. And if you know Prabhupada's books well, you can immediately go to the path, oh, Prabhupada mentions that here. You know, And I get this nice, oh gee, that's a real deeper understanding and what I'm doing and how I can do what I'm doing and benefit myself and the world by doing it in such a way that it's connected with the pain. It's a wonderful, people love that concept. They don't want to be just doing something for their life just for money. You know, there are people out there that want some purpose. And of course, for us, that book marathon protects us from falling down like Maharaj Bharat. Because this time of year, Christmas, is a time of enjoying the material world. Isn't it? And so people get in this 100% loop. I've been working, now it is enjoying 100% with all my other family, they're all enjoying this, my friends, they're all enjoying it, we're all going to enjoy it together. And of course, people being in lockdown, we're going to enjoy, we're going to make up for 2 years of lockdown, are we going to enjoy this Christmas like it was, we're going to get 2 years worth of enjoyment this one Christmas. And that mood, to associate with people in that mood can be very contaminating. We have to associate with it because we live in this world. And we're in our activities, we bump into these people. But through the book, we become so intensely absorbed in serving Krishna and taking the opportunity. Because when people want to enjoy, they love to spend money. And then they're more, people who are enjoying, they're quite often more charitable. And they've worked very hard for this month. They've got extra money. It's a perfect time to distribute books. It protects the devotee because they're intensely absorbed in a service for Krishna. They're intensely taking opportunity of a very fertile opportunity for book distribution, and it is the benefit for the world that the main service that we do is distributing Prabhupada books is done predominantly. So on a big scale all over the world, Sankirtan Jagat, the Brihadadanga. Now we're discussing here chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We go out on the streets, we bang the Danga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They can hear it for one block. I know sometimes if you're late, you go down to catch up with the Harinam and they've already moved on. You've got to listen above the trams, above the traffic. You've got to get within maybe 1 to 2 blocks and you can just hear that bang. Are they this way, like that? For the brief book distribution, that is a dream of number. That is non-different from chanting Hare Krishna. That's why it's called the Brihadaranyaka Ganga. It's the same Hare Krishna with the Ganga, but it's a big, big Madanga that spreads the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and the glories of the name and fame and pastimes and instruction of the Lord all over the world, the whole world. So, and again, the purpose of the devotees is to please the spiritual master, to please Krishna, and to become purified themselves, keep themselves purified, keep themselves on the path, keep the mind constantly. So, the book marathon for a devotee is a time to intensely remember Krishna. Because like soldiers, they enter the battle to battle with the material energy. Sixth chapter of Gita, there's this verse that Arjuna asks, that's 637. Arjuna said, Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning tasted the process of self-realization of faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection of mysticism? So, there are many devotees in the course of associating with materialistic persons, even for the purpose of preaching, have themselves succumbed to the illuminance of the material energy by that association. I have seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of devotees. When they get out into that material world, especially when the influence of Maya is so strong as it is in Krishna's, and they have become allured, caught up and again attracted to the enjoying truth. Prabhupada mentions that in this purport, he says, despite constant endeavor, one may fail for many reasons. First of all, one may not be sufficiently serious about following the process. To pursue the path, the transcendental path, is more or less to declare war on the illusory energy. So the Christmas marathon, it's war. And you can guarantee for each and every devotee their intention, I will deliver so many books, we're going to come out there with our weapons, and the material energy is thinking, oh, I see, you come into my domain, where I have these people under my control, you big devotee. Let me see if I can divert your mind in a different way. I like to tell a story that miles away. I remember one time on book distribution and doing the same thing. I was walking past the shop and I never did this. And there were some TVs. And there was a concert of David Bowie on the TV. I was like David Bowie. I used to play a lot of David Bowie before he came to that was my life. But anyway, I thought, there's a concert there. I'll just have a look, see what people are interested in. Soft me. I'm just seeing what sort of mire people are into. I watched that whole concert. And when I got back to the temple, I thought, my God, the material energy knows, there's some little, something we have attachment to, and she'll present exactly that. You won't be able to resist this, material energy. Anyway, the thing was that when I got back to the temple, I thought, oh my God, that's how Maya has diverted my attention. And I picked up a magazine where my spiritual master had an article in that magazine. And in there, he was preaching, and he was specifically preaching against, and he mentioned David Bowie in particular. And I thought, just see, how, and so what he said, to put it right in context, directed it right at me, and you know, the Christian managed to save me. But so Christians always trying to help us, but it is a declaration of war on mine. And you know, the Prabhupada goes on to say, consequently, whenever a person tries to escape the clutches of the illusory energy, she tries to defeat the practitioner by various allurements. A conditioned soul is already allured by the mode of material energy, and there is every chance of being allured again, even while performing transcendental disciplines. And this is called yogacchalitamanasa, deviation from the transcendental path. And as you said, we saw in the case of Maharaj Bhagavan, do not end ourselves on a daily basis. You know, we've always been, have to be very careful. The material energy is definitely, you know, we declare war on Maya, especially if we just, you know, book marathons and some of the different things. If, whenever, you know, if we preach very strongly, then Maya can attack. Okay. So, one, for devotees, we must always remember that the purpose, you know, one of the purposes of every service we do, including the Christmas Marathon, is it is an opportunity to increase our ability to remember Krishna. Then we'll protect it. Then we'll protect it. So yes, we're trying to sell books. We're selling books for the purpose that we shall remember Krishna, otherwise how will we go on selling books? We'll be diverted. And we're selling books so that others can remember Krishna. And to the degree that we can remember Krishna is the degree we can challenge Maya and help others remember Krishna. If we're seeking that I should become the most famous book distributor, my name shall be widely glorified. And we've already forgotten Krishna. We haven't even gone down the street. Isn't it? Because that's the bodily concept of life. As soon as we try to satisfy, that means that I'm thinking I'm the body. And the body includes the subtle body, which means the mind. I'm trying to satisfy my mind. Therefore, in that seventh chapter, as I just put to the exact page, I love to know, haven't I? Text 13. Tripi guna maya bhave kade saram vidam jagat bhogi kam nam jnana ti mam vidya dharma vyayam. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above modes and inexhaustible. And Prabhupada says the whole world is enchanted of the three modes of material nature, and those who are bewildered by these three modes cannot understand the transcendental that is material nature is the Supreme Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada goes on to mention, you know, that we all have a particular type of psychological and biological activities. Brahmas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudras, what have you. But we're none of these things. We're not American, we're not a man, we're not a female. Australian, we're not Hindu, we're not Indian, we're not the gross body, we're not the subtle body. And as soon as we are attracted to enjoy any aspect of the subtle or gross body, means we again in the bodily concept of life, and that means we have forgotten Krishna. Because we're not this body, or this mind, with the eternal servant Krishna, and our eternal activity is the blissful devotional service of Krishna. If we get that position, we become the servant of the body again. If we get Krishna. So, says there are many different kinds of living entities, human beings, demigods, animals, and each and every one of them is under the influence of material nature, and all of them have forgotten the transcendental personality of Godhead. So, that is the nature of material energy. The nature of material energy is to enchant every living entity, even those on the spiritual path, even while they're engaged in transcendental activities, to enchant them in such a way that they forget Krishna and the consciousness comes back to enjoying the body and the mind like that. So, but I'll just read one last verse from Gita. Again from the 8th chapter. That this one here, 8:14. Anam chita satatam yogam smarati nityasa tasyaham sulava patan nityutasya yoginaha. For one who always remembers me, without deviation, I am easy to obtain, a son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. And therefore you can see those two things. We constantly engage in devotional service in order to always remember Krishna. And if we do that without deviation, that person most easily crosses over the material energy, the illusory nature of Maya, and in the end goes back to, attains Krishna in this lifetime, and goes back to Krishna at the end. That makes it very easy. Prabhupada says that spiritual life is simple for the simple, which means that I've only got one thing I'm trying to do, and it's trying to remember Krishna and serve Krishna. And devotion serves very easy for that person. And difficult for the duplicious. I'm trying to remember Krishna, serve Krishna, and at the same time, there's some chant with material energy I'm trying to satisfy. It became very difficult. So the strange thing is, easier to constantly think of Krishna than to sort of think of Krishna had a little break with material energy. That makes it both things impossible. Really hard. It's actually easier to just think more of Krishna all the time. And one becomes so dear to Krishna by that he gives them the most attention. So I'll just read that part of the purport. So one may think it's hard. How do all the simple Krishna? Well, we just do it. And Prabhupada says, what does it do with you? Know, if someone says, that you are someone who gambles, how do you always think you're gambling? Well, it's not a problem. I'm attracted to it, I'm attached to it. I think of night and day. I'm prepared to lose my life, my house, my kids, my job. For gambling. I can't stop them. That is their choice. You ask the drug again. How can you think of drugs night and day? Yes, we're not going to fix it. We're going to get them out. Every person on there, is there some connection here? There's some drugs. People after money. There's all that. Night and day, their entire life, no matter how much trouble they get, their mind never leaves that point of thought. 6 months. What does it mean? Krishna says, it's natural. We are eternally connected in love. You think of me, I think of you. Therefore, here, at the end of this verse, Prabhupada says that in any of these ways, the pure devotee is always constantly engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord and cannot forget the Supreme Lord, and so for him, the Lord is easily attained. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment, and similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. This is a great blessing of the Krishna consciousness process of chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. So if we always think of Krishna, you can guarantee at the time I'm thinking of Krishna, that means Krishna is thinking of me. And if we're trying to serve Krishna, Krishna is thinking of us, trying to serve Him, He will help us. Okay, so any comments or questions?
If you preach,
Have you delivered a book? Have you had some, you know, an exchange for that book? The temple's going up, the shadow going out, the devotee being made. The devotee is very, very result oriented like that. Because that's proper preaching. You know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Kaur sent his sannyasis to the West. They've got no result. They took a few photo opportunities, you know, made themselves look good, come back at the end. Prabhupada didn't teach us to be like that. You get a result. And so, you know, while being Krishna conscious, Krishna gives us the intelligence of how to get a result. Books are going to go out in a nice way, and the result also is that books will come out in a way that people appreciate, especially people that appreciate that exchange. Not that we force someone to take a book, as soon as we turn away, they'll throw it in. Like that. We don't want that. It takes a lot of intelligence. But if we're Krishna conscious and we try to do it, Krishna will, and you know, when we have a proper focus and mind's not diverted by the mind and so many crazy thoughts, I'm out here distributing books, Krishna will give that intelligence. So that's why it depends upon Krishna consciousness. Because if our mind is filled with other diversions, we can't quite, we're not, say there's some static between Krishna trying to direct us and us picking up that direction. So with Krishna conscious, we really, you know, get an understanding. So, and when therefore our perspective is that there's only we don't give options, too many options for them not to buy. So, you know, we used to have, so this is a simple technique. You know, Prabhupada would never accept any negative comment from the, about the movement. If someone did throw a negative comment, he only took it in a positive way. So in other words, he only wanted one result, that everything he says is going to be positive and go my way. You understand? One time, someone says, Prabhupada, you know, the thing I see about you is that you know everything. Prabhupada said, thank you. He said there's a criticism. Prabhupada said, thank you. He's not going to take a negative criticism. He's not going to take a negative response. He's only going to accept a positive response. For Krishna's sake. So, you know, you don't say things like, would you like to buy a book? No. But you don't ask the person such a way that someone has the opportunity to say no. It's more like, you know, you interested in your thing? Yeah. You get as many yeses as you can. Interested in your thing? Yeah. You look like a really intelligent person. Did you say to you? Yeah. I bet you, you know, you do this, you know, yeah. Get me, yes, by the Bible, yeah. 5%. Put the book in your hand. Once you get a feel of it, it's like, You get attached to anything that goes in there. So, you know, but there's a lot of different techniques like that, but the thing is that you get the intelligence that, you know, you ask a question and it somehow leads, it sort of gives them an opportunity to get out of buying a book or what have you. You don't ask it again. You know, the Krishna will help you realize that. And if you ask them something and, you know, you sort of, you meet and strike up a friendship. And of all things, the main thing is that people like you, they'll buy whatever you've got, even if they don't want you. And they'll be happy that they bought something. Dubai is very friendly, very open, very honest, and very nice people. Prabhupada says, only crazy person doesn't like Dubai. You be yourself and, just strike up an immediate friendship. And if you're really friendly with people, nice and polite, people will, take whatever you say. I was with the Curtis one time, and I was in Dandenong. I couldn't find an Indian shop, none of them had a limited amount of time. I walked into the shop, there were probably Sudanese down there. Because out of the corner of my eye, I saw what I thought was Curtis, but then I realised they were more African. But the person in there was a really nice person. And I didn't really want to buy an African sort of thing because I've never bought it. But he's such a nice person, I wouldn't say that on my forest. So if you can strike up a really honest, just immediate, say the people like you. What you say, the way you do it, your enthusiasm, your happiness, people like you. That bothers you. And then it doesn't matter what you're saying, you're really just going to, you're leaving everything in a way that's not so obvious towards them buying that book. It's almost, when someone buys a book, it's almost like a side issue. Oh, you bought a book as well. I really just got to say, it's like the exchange should be so nice that in one sense, the selling the book is like a side issue. I bought a book as well, and it was really nice and amazing. It was sort of forcing things down the throat. So I'm just giving you some ideas, but the thing is, Krishna will give you intelligence. If you're Krishna conscious. Alright, leave it there. Thank you. Hare Krishna.